Oh, Lord Jesus, we just come to you this morning and we thank you and praise you, Lord. You are a wonderful and an awesome God. We love you so much. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for all the blessings that you put in our lives. And thank you for just interacting with us and for loving us and for calling us and for blessing us and just being who you are, Lord. Being who you are, and we thank you so much, and we just offer ourselves to you this morning, and we offer this class and this time up to you this morning, and we pray that your presence would be here with us, that you would guide us and help us and teach us and encourage us. And we lift up this whole day to you, Lord. We lift up the sermon, we lift up the worship team that's out there practicing right now, and we lift up the concert this evening, and we just pray that you would bring lots of folks here, Lord, that would be encouraged. Lots of folks that would be that would just be energized, Lord, by the concert and things tonight, and that you would energize us and help us and teach us and just keep pushing us, Lord, because we need you to just keep pushing us. And so we lift all of this up to you, Lord, and we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are looking at Number 21 and 22. We're going to do both of them today. 21 and 22 on that little paper. It is, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 2. It's the Spirit reveals the deep things of God to us, and the Spirit reveals what has been given to us from God. And it starts 1 Corinthians 2. The verses are 2:10 and the other one's 2:12. You know me, I'm going to go clear back to 1:1, and I'm going to read the first chapter first, and then we'll read 2. So I'm going to start in Corinthians 1. Whoa, you got a big fat Bible now over there, buddy.
Well,
giant print and everything.
This is extra large print. Brandon got this for me almost a year ago this month. I don't write in it, and I usually leave it at home because I use the app on my phone, so yeah. I keep this for good. And that's why you've never seen it that much.
I can almost read it from here.
Yeah,
I
you probably could.
Not quite. All right.
But I felt like bringing it today for some reason.
Nice. All right, I'm going to start at 1:1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes. You know how to say that better than me. Thanks. 1:1. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Always thank God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. Did I steer you wrong?
I have Thessalonians, and I'm not hearing today. Oh. My dyslexia is floating all over the place.
I always give thanks to you because His grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in Him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift, as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from close household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you say, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas, but beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. I'm going to stop there a minute, because I'm going to ask John something.
I knew it. I was feeling you and you were feeling me, because this speaks volumes to me.
Because John came and had a little chat with us yesterday, and he threw out something real quick, right? And I said, John, you've been busy. I ain't heard from you much since you got wheels. You're on the go, right? So he said, yeah, I've been going here and going there and doing stuff. And he says, he just kind of throws out there, yeah, I like healed some blind lady at the ice cream place. And I was like, and we just kind of went on, right? So I was going to ask, if you could share a little bit about that.
I can.
Would you be willing to do that?
Pat was with me. And we were at Dairy Queen on North 21st Street, and we went there to eat, Pat, CJ, and I. And at the end, unbeknownst to me, I wasn't even paying attention, but these three women got up from a table outside, and I just happened to look out the window. I mean, the timing was perfect. Because I'm sitting there talking to Pat and we're focused on our food or whatever. I just happen to turn and look at my head and I see these two women on either side of this other woman in the middle grabbing her arms and getting her, holding her to make her walk to the car to go. And I said, Pat, there's a blind lady out there. And she looked at me and I looked at her and I said, I gotta go, huh? You hear me?
Yeah.
I said, I need to go. Say something. And I couldn't resist. I just felt like I had to pray for her. And I went out and I asked the woman. I didn't get her name, but I asked the woman, would you mind if I prayed for her? Is she legally blind? She said yes, but she couldn't see. And a total of three times I prayed. And like on the second time that I prayed, she was able to see me standing in front of her, and I had my hands like this in front of her, and I was going like this. She said, I see your hands moving. So the one woman looked at the other woman, and they just looked at each other at the same time and was like in total awe. You know, so I prayed again, and then I walked back in and sat down with Pat and CJ. But you know what? I felt as though she got in the car and she started looking around. She was like looking around, like she could see. She started to see. She was looking out the window, looking out the front windshield, out the side. And I said, you know what? I gotta go pray one more time. I thought if I get her one more time, maybe she'll get full vision restored. And as I was getting ready to get up, they backed out. And I didn't want to run out there and chase her down. And my manager might have said, I don't know, but I just didn't make it. They backed out and they took off and went down 21st Street. But I think, well, I know that the healing process had begun on her to be able to see again. And so I'm just praying that she got her full vision restored. So that's what happened verbatim.
So why is this kind of stuff happening here? I mean, why is this going on? This is amazing stuff, right? We pray for people all the time. And we say, you know, well, this person's sick, and you pray for them to get better, and they get better. And skeptics can go, well, you know what, maybe they were just already taking medicine. Or maybe their body just, you know, fought it off, and they were healed anyhow, and they explained it away. But how do you explain sight restored immediately?
I just asked Jesus for a new set of eyes.
Yeah.
Right now.
But I'm saying, you know, this
is... You don't explain it, it's all faith.
I know.
That's right.
That's what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
It's nothing but faith and being bold and having an understanding of the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And you can't experience these things if you don't step out. You have to step out and put your hands on somebody. We are called to be disciples of God. We're supposed to go make disciples of all nations. And people that are just like lukewarm that don't do it, don't understand why they're not getting results, is because you've got to be bold. You've got to have faith. Look, I have never seen God. I have never seen the face of Jesus Christ other than in pictures. But I do know that they both exist. And I do know that the Holy Spirit resides in me. And I'll tell you what, I don't have to see to believe. He's already showed me several times since I started coming here how he convicted me in the prayer room a year ago and said, oh, you don't believe? Well, I'm going to make you believe. Boy, the Holy Spirit's on me right now. Whew. So how can you deny it? I can't deny it.
You can't deny it.
I can't. Satan himself and all his power will never take it away from me. And I rebuke him in the name of Jesus right now. But he'll never take away what the Father gave me, or the Son gave me, or the Spirit gave me, because he took a situation out of my life that only five people knew, and those people didn't even exist in this county at the time that it happened 41 years ago. So, if he was there then, he's here now. Right now. And I'm not going to sit around and just be lukewarm and hope that if I just read and take notes, you know that's going to work. No, you got to get out and put hands on and speak it out. You got to pray it up, and you got to go out and do it. And don't expect failure, ever. Don't ever underestimate the power of Jesus Christ. Oh my gosh, I don't know who I'm preaching to right now, but the Holy Spirit's on me. But I'm telling you, I didn't get this way by just sitting around going, I'll just sit here today and watch Benny Hinn and Todd White and Bishop T. James and Joel Osteen. I'll just listen to some sermons and maybe I'll get some results. It's not like that. You have to go out, put your hands on people. Don't be scared. You have the most powerful person on the universe backing you. What would you be afraid of? There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. Sometimes, you get immediate results. Sometimes you might have to pray 5 or 6 or 10 times. But I know that if you have faith and you keep praying, and if it's Jesus' will, or if it's the Father's will, it's going to happen.
In His timing.
In His timing, yeah. Yep. Yes. Yes, Mother, thank you. But I'm telling you right now, here's an update. Janet Rector. I've been with her every day before the day she left the nursing home. I prayed for her for healing overall, head to toe. And other people have too. But I've been going to her house once a day praying for Janet. Janet is getting up and walking. She walked to the kitchen, washed her hair in the sink, and walked back to her bed. She ate yesterday. She ate cherry pie and Doritos. I forgot to tell you that. She's been eating real food. Now she's getting hunger pains in her stomach like she wants to eat. So I prayed for that feeding tube to be gone. And the tumor in her brain to be gone. And in her liver to be gone. from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. In Jesus' name, I've been praying for her. And look, every day something new is happening.
Yeah, that first night it was ice cream.
First it was ice cream, then it was peanut butter, now it's cherry pie, now it's Doritos. We're going for prime rib and mashed potatoes next. Who knows?
The cool thing about that is, you know, I'm listening to him, some of that we've all prayed for, but I think it's cool how God, our Holy Spirit shows us different things that we need to pray for. You know, some of us pray for different things, and I just think, to me, that just shows how much God loves us all and how much He loves that person.
Yes.
You know, and Janet's been so faithful.
Oh, I know.
And she's hanging in there and everything, you know, and there for a while her countenance changed. Like when you go through, she'd just be staring off, and the emotion was gone and the joy was gone. And she explained that the way it's affected her brain has caused her to be like that, and she couldn't hardly smile. You know, and I'm glad you're going, because just people's presence being there and just letting her know that she's loved on and that God loves her and we love her and didn't forget her is lifting her up so much. And we need to pray too, because Georgiana goes back to work this weekend. She doesn't want to be alone. She wants us to come and be with her and stay with her.
I know that a few days ago, when I prayed for overall healing for her whole entire body, that I got a word. And this is what I heard. And in my heart, I knew that it was all going to be taken care of. And the words that I got were, in due time, was the word that I got. And I felt it in my heart, and I knew right then and there, I said, Janet, you are going to be restored to perfect health, and you're going to be able to go to church. Maybe not this Sunday or the next, but keep faith. Pray. And she's just, every day she's calling me, I can do this now. I'm doing that. I ate this. I did that. Is that... I can't spit it out.
It's okay.
The Spirit's on me.
It's okay. No, I'm going to go to Scripture.
Go right ahead.
Because we need the Holy Spirit and we need Scripture. We've got to be grounded in the Scripture and alive by the Holy Spirit.
Can I say one thing?
Absolutely.
When you said, when I was down in South Carolina, and I was led down by the Lord, the minister, the pastor down there, he said, all is in the presence of God.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
That's such an awesome feeling.
It is. It's made my whole Christmas.
Made your whole Christmas.
This, I thought you wanted to talk to me about this.
What?
I thought when you stopped, can I say something? Or do you want to go about what you just read in 1 Corinthians?
Yeah.
About how He'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and the discernment of the discerning out before. He's not so interested in the rich and the wise and the famous. He's more interested in the broken and the beat down and the homeless and the hungry and
that's
the afflicted.
Why he came.
And that's what's coming. That's what's coming here
right.
too with
yeah.
Paul. That's why I'm gonna go here on 2.
And it's just,
we're in Corinthians 2 now.
We're in Corinthians 2.
Oh, we're going to 2?
We're going to 2. 1 Corinthians 2.
Oh, yeah, 2. Right.
And this is Paul.
But
right?
I just wanted to make that statement because this directly results to
and,
what
and
I
it continues
through.
On with that.
Yeah, and I've read 1 and 2 in Galatians and Ephesians, and it's all awesome stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
It says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom,
right,
as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Right? This is Paul. Paul's talking to the Corinthians. Like we said a week or two ago, Corinth was a huge place, a huge metropolis with 500,000 or more people in it. They were all about the being wise and philosophy, and there was bunches of different religions and all kinds of stuff going on, and they were about improving themselves and learning and knowledge and all this stuff. And Paul comes in, and Paul was educated. Paul was a Pharisee. He was educated. He knew the law. He knew what was going on. He could have come in there and been all flowery and eloquent and tried to persuade them. And he said, no, I didn't do that. I trusted on God, Christ crucified only.
You know, it's interesting because really, really, really intelligent people will try and disprove frequently the existence of God.
Yes.
They try and disprove it. And God wants you to come with the faith of a little child that knows nothing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me go on. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. God's secret wisdom. This is God. This isn't man's secret wisdom. This is God. What is God's secret wisdom? I mean, what is that? What is God's secret wisdom? That secret that He has revealed to us. I mean, it's not a secret to us anymore, right? I mean, what is that secret wisdom that He destined before time began? Right? This is what it is. It's the gospel. It's the crucifixion. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the grace of God, the forgiveness of sin. It's His plan of redemption. It's the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's God's secret wisdom. That's His secret message. It hasn't, up to this time, it had not been revealed, and it's been revealed. And to those of us who He has called, who has removed that veil so that we can see it, understand it, and believe it, it's not a secret anymore. But the world don't know that secret yet.
We got to get the message.
There are people out there in the world that don't know that secret, right? It's only through the Holy Spirit that we're able to understand it.
Amen.
So it's like those who have the Spirit can have the mind of Christ. Look what verses 10 through 16 says. It said, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things. Now here's the verse that this thing's talking about. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit, big S, who was from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, right? How powerful is that? We have a mind of Christ. We have the ability. We've been given the ability by the Holy Spirit to not only understand this truth, but we have access to it.
To believe it.
To believe it.
And not to
live
keep
it
to ourselves.
And not to keep it to ourselves. And we do so much keep it to ourselves.
You know, some people's personalities are, would you say, introverts, or they don't have enough confidence in yourself. And I always tell them, do the buddy system. Take somebody with you and pray before you go. Because a lot of times you'll go and you'll start to say something and the Holy Spirit comes over them and they're witnessing, you know, and God is showing them that they can go out and talk to people.
CJ's gone with John. CJ was with John when he prayed for the lady with the blind lady. And CJ is just in I was going to say how God did that and used that.
We formed a circle and we all joined hands. I put one hand on her head and I had CJ touch me to make the circle complete, so that there was like five of us, three, four, five of us.
Yeah. So did John do that? Did John and CJ do that?
No. I'm just the vessel.
Yes.
That's all I am.
The vessel, the conduit.
But you
right?
got to call upon him to get it done. He's not just going to do it just to be doing
the
it.
The instrument.
But when he hears your voice and your prayer, it's almost instantaneous. It's like he knows I'm going before I'm going.
I think it's important what you just said to us too. Because he's very humble. He never takes credit for anything. I mean, that's just what he does. But I think it is important that we let him know that it is God and not us, because even though, you know, people will tend to put you on a pedestal and you don't want to be there, you shouldn't be there.
I'm not on a pedestal. I'm chasing Jesus down. No, I know you didn't. I'm just saying people will do that. I agree with what she's saying, but all I'm concerned about is where am I going next? What do you got for me next? More.
One of the best things that I've heard about pastors that are on pedestals is unless you put them up that high, they can't fall so low.
And that's one of the things. I'm sorry.
We have to be careful. We don't look at the man, we look at Christ.
I told Pastor Steve that once. You know, we were having a little chat, and I said, well, I'm not going to put you on a pedestal. You are human as I am, and you chose this career, and this is what God's blessed you with, but you know, I won't put you above everyone else. And he was relieved. You know, we have respect for him. He has accountability, you know. And it's just like if John's going out or we're going out or any of us, and someone says, boy, I want to be with him. The Holy Spirit's on fire. At first, that would bother me when people would say that. You know, I just wanted to.
So an expectation that you have to live up to, and it's not you that's living up to it.
Well, and
right?
And I thought, okay, I'm just going to look at it as being obedient to God.
Well, I know this. Sometimes you got to prepare yourself too before you step out. And I always pray before I go. Holy Spirit, go before me, guide me. Help me. I pray for Jesus to help me to answer this prayer for this person, such and such. It's like you can get all the ingredients to bake a cake and mix it all up in the bowl, but if you don't preheat the oven, it's going to take you twice as long to make the cake. Am I right?
I like that enough.
Okay, you see what I'm saying? So why? I just prepare myself and I just go and I get direct. Sometimes I'm just driving around looking for people. Oh, he's afflicted. He's afflicted. She needs help. I fed and gave a woman a drink the other day down at Wendy's. She was sitting on the square on a bench with a coat over her head like this. Going like this. Doing this. I said, oh no, she needs help.
CJ was with me too.
I told him too. Yeah. Immediately, I told her about the gospel. I told her about my testimony. I said, can I get you something to eat and a drink? And she was just so dehydrated. And she had no energy. And she had these bags and this bicycle, and I said, meet me over to McDonald's, or Wendy's, I'll get you something to eat and drink. And she really needed help. I was expecting a call from her, but she never did call to go to church today, but that's okay. I did what's expected of me. I'm not the miracle worker. I planted the seed, let him water it. But I did what I was supposed to do, and that's what it's all about, stepping out of faith and being bold. And you know what? There is so much power in the name of Jesus, just that name. There's so much power. I'm not trying to take over your Bible study. This is just, it's real heavy on my heart right now, Ron.
You're just going down through my Bible study, brother.
Right. So there's so much power in the name
of Jesus.
When you say in the name of Jesus, you have so much power. People don't even realize what you can accomplish in those few words. And the result happened just like that. I watched a man's leg grow in front of me just like that before I could say, in the name of Jesus. It's just, it's about... Chase
them
down. Sprint
okay.
after Jesus.
Yeah.
Run them down.
Take a breath.
I can't help it.
It's okay. It's okay.
I wanted to say something too, real quick. I've shared before that, you know, I've always asked God whatever job you have to use you through it. And I used to be an auditor for a company called Paramount Financial. And the guy
that ran it was a Christian, and he allowed us to pray for each other. He also allowed us to have Bible study before work. Now, I was blown away volunteering at the Salvation Army. I'm not allowed to pray for anyone. Yeah, it's a Christian-based thing, but I'm not, because of state rules, I'm not allowed to pray for anyone. But, you know, I do. If they come in and they're talking, I, of course, I'm praying for them.
Right.
If they open the door, I'm allowed to share faith and pray for them, but otherwise we're not allowed to.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Well, get away from the Salvation Army.
I think that God puts you there for a reason.
Yeah, but they can't dictate when you can pray, when you can't pray.
Well, the state can.
The state? No, they can't.
No,
nobody can.
Hold on.
How do you mean?
The state cannot determine when you can pray and when you can't pray. The state can say you're not allowed to pray because this is funded with state dollars, and if you pray, we'll take that funding away. And people out of fear, hold on, people out of fear of losing funding will follow those rules.
I'm sorry, I'm not on that program.
I know, it's okay. Well, I want you to understand.
They have a lot of Christian programs, don't get me wrong, and they do a lot of good things.
That's
just,
what it is.
That just shocked me when they said that.
All right, we're going to talk about a different John for a second. All right, this is John 16. All right, this is John 16. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's telling his disciples that the world hates him and the world's going to hate them.
Oh boy.
Right? Why? Because he came to the world and he pointed out the world's sin. He made them face it. He convicted them of their sin, and now they have to do something about it. Because before, they had all their sin all pretty and flowery and smelling good. They were going through the rituals, going through the stuff, doing the things they thought they were supposed to do, and they were all comfortable with their sin. And he came and pointed it all out. Now they're facing it. And they don't want to face it. And they hate him because of it. And he says, he's telling the disciples they're going to hate them. He's going to hate them too. But listen to what he says in 16. He says, John 16, he says, "All of this I have told you so that you will not go astray." They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, synagogue, that's the church.
Right.
He's saying they're going to kick you out of the church. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can no longer see me. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have so much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when the Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I say the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no longer, or no more, and after a while you will see me.
Sorry we took your chairs. I didn't even think about you guys.
That's okay. No, we stole those. We'll put them back. It's
well,
all good.
I'm taking the kids outside today because they took all my chairs.
Oh.
I forgot to call the
kids. That's all right.
So, you know, they got to face this stuff. They got to face it, you know. And God's given all truth. He says he's taken what is mine and making it known to you. Again, that's the deep things of God. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the mind of Christ. That's what gives us the ability to understand and to believe. You know, that's where that is. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't have that.
Well, it's just like people that don't have the Holy Spirit can open up the Bible and they say, "I don't understand it."
Yes.
And they won't read it because the Holy Spirit hasn't revealed it to him.
Right.
Matthew 13, real quick. Back up. Matthew 13, it's the parable of the sower, right? Sower of the seed, which is a little weird because somebody made a comment yesterday when we were talking in there about the soil or something.
13:1 start there?
No, actually, we're talking about the sower of the seed. You guys know the story, right? It's like they scatter the seed. Some falls on the path, some falls on the rocky, some falls on the thorns, some falls on the good soil. And he's talking, he's saying this parable, but what I want to read is 10. Look what he says in verse 10. 13:10. You want to read it? 10 through 17.
Sure. Right. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it."
You know, I was just thinking about, a lot of times we pray, let them have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart that feels, but we need to add the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Be blessed with the Holy Spirit. I've never done that.
You know what's totally amazing about this is it's God. God chooses who to reveal these things to. God chooses. We don't get to choose.
No.
He chooses.
I'm in the booth.
You gotta go.
Gotta go.
All right. That's
just
cool.
So you know.
That's
right.
Cool.
I'd love to stay, but Wade's got plans for me.
Yep. That's good.
Right.
He chooses this. We don't choose this. But everyone sitting here has been chosen. Everyone sitting here knows that the veil's been pulled from our eyes, right? You see it. You understand it. You believe it. We all know it. So we've all been chosen, right? And I was thinking about John and all the cool stuff that's been happening with lately. And I'm like, you know what? I have, over the years, I have led people to Christ, a bunch of people to Christ. I've experienced miracles. I've performed, like God has done miracles through me. I've prayed against demons. I've cast demons out of people before. I've been overcome with the Spirit. I've been involved in like youth ministry and you know, mission trips and prison ministries and all kinds of stuff. And over the years, I have seen incredible, wonderful, amazing things from God. Mm-hmm. And I sat there on my way home from our meeting yesterday, and I'm like, I'm so excited that God is using John and doing all these things for him, because not only is he tremendously building John's faith, but CJ's and so many people that's around experiencing these things with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And who here doesn't want to be able to do that, to be able to walk up and heal someone, or to walk up and know that God's telling you to do something, and sometimes we struggle with that, right? And I can tell you, over the period of my life, there's been amazing things, but I was sitting there going, why not right now?
How much more could I do?
Why not right now? Why am I not doing those things right? I'm doing wonderful things, you know? I mean, I am. I'm doing, living my life in a way that I think is pleasing to God, but I'm not doing those things all the time. And I thought, why? And so on my way home, I'm praying and I'm asking God, you know, what's going on? What got in the way? What happened? And two words came to mind, and it was focus and action. It was focus and action.
Sure.
I get distracted. I get distracted. I got a job that I work 70 plus hours a week. I've got a marriage that I love her, but takes work, right? Eric takes work. I got a family. I got granddaughters that I chase around, you know? I do prepare for Sunday school, go to a small group, take care of the nursery, do the elders thing. All of these stuff are wonderful, good things, but they're distracting, and I lose the focus. And I end up doing things that I go, this is good stuff, and I'm doing this for God, but it's not focus and action.
Well, you know, the Lord told me one time, I was doing this and this and this and this, trying to help out in church and stuff, and the Lord revealed to me, you've got yourself spread on everything, and I can't use you the way I want to use you, focused in one area. And I thought, wow, you know, I thought I was okay. Not boastful or anything, but you think you're doing, being obedient,
yeah.
And you're not. Your focus, like you said, is off. I need to listen. I knew I needed to listen to God and for Him to place you where He wants to place you. And sometimes it's just to be quiet.
Yes.
You know, the other thing, though, that I think we have to realize in ourselves, John's doing big things, but sometimes God uses us to do these little teeny things that we don't recognize, but they're equally as important.
Yes, they are.
Well, God has used you a lot.
And before any of us can walk out and lay hands and heal, God has already been working in that situation and has already put the people in the right places at the right times with the right, you know what I'm saying? He's already done all of that stuff. And maybe some of the people that are just seed waterers and you're doing what you're doing, and that's cool. But, you know, I just wanted to share that when I was praying that, that's the two words that I got. Now, that's for me. I don't know if that's for anybody else, but that's for me. Now, I learned this lesson a long, long, long time ago because I was getting awards for being like the most blah, blah, blah because of all the stuff that I used to do at our old church when I first became a Christian. I was like, gung-ho, man, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to do everything. And I was on fire, and I was doing everything, and I spread myself too thin.
Mm-hmm.
And when I spread myself too thin, it was like, oh, okay, now you're just kind of becoming, you're not giving everything to anything. You're just
I think that's kind of where we're at right now is to be, we've talked about to stay focused and to take more action, more devotion time, more devotion together. Just so many areas that you just really need, there's priorities, and God is that first priority.
Yeah.
He should be our first priority in the day.
But how easy is it
to
get distracted?
I know. But the thing is,
I'm going to change the plans, I guess, because there's something going on with the Carmen thing.
Yeah.
So they don't need me. So
okay.
I'm going to go ahead and position myself out here. Anyway.
That's cool. We're about to wrap up.
Okay.
You just said that you guys would have talked about that you wanted to focus and you wanted to do more Bible study and do more.
Yeah, you know, and we know that we've gotten a little distracted here lately. You know, I mean, we've got six people in our house, you know, and it does, and you just have to stay focused. And the thing is, I know what I was going to say, it's like working out at the gym. You've got to be disciplined to make yourself go, and you have to be disciplined, not only be, but disciplined to make that time for God.
Yeah.
And it's so much better when you do. It is just so much better when you do. And you can do it. People think I don't have time. You absolutely do have time.
Yeah, you just got to push something else aside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like when they need money for something, you think I can't afford that. But then you look and see, well, I bought this sandwich, and I did this, and I did this. If I didn't do that, I could have did this. It's the same with your time.
Yeah. But you can make time for God in the most mundane times. I mean,
absolutely,
you know, I'm sure you do too.
I might be loading the dishwasher and I'll be praying at the same time. Or talking to him.
Yeah.
Because I talk to him like he's in the room.
We don't all of us need to be where John is right now. In fact, if we were,
oh my goodness,
this place would be bursting open. Oh. The doors would be bursting off,
yeah,
of this place, because people would be pouring in here, you know, just to be healed, which might be a kind of cool thing. But we don't all need to be there, and John's not going to stay there forever. John's there. John's there. He's there for a season. And, you know, we all need to realize that when that season starts slowing down, we got to kind of be there for him to make him understand that. Because, you know, it will. It'd be great if it didn't, but I don't know anyone
who hasn't. But in case it does,
hasn't. Yeah.
We have to be and there so to say, it's okay, John, you haven't lost favor with God.
Right. Because God does give
and
us
and he does
take
us through seasons.
Yeah.
And I love when I know he's going to take me through a new season. I get excited. Now, I know this may sound stupid and weird, but when something bad happens, I kind of get excited because I wait to see what God's going to bring out of that.
You know something good.
Yeah, something's going to come out of it somewhere, and I hope I get to know what it is.
It's amazing that we have this, you know, and we take it for granted sometimes, that we have this, the deep knowledge of God and the secrets of God and the things that we can understand, and we do. We take it for granted, and it's incredible and it's amazing. And we should be so excited about it every single day. You know, we really should be so excited about it every day. And I don't know, that's all I really have on that.
I've had people come up to me, and never met them. I've been and they come up to me and ask for prayer. I never say anything to them, but I do pray for them. I've been in down South Carolina. I've been in big grocery stores. I've had people come up and say, "You pray for me." Sure. And after I get down praying for them, I turn around and the woman behind me, she says, "If you've given that prayer like that one too," it blows me.
Yeah.
You know, people in the parking lot, they just, I can't.
And we'll pray before we go out for God to send us someone. We know that he will.
And I think that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm. He won't for any of us, I think, that are willing. That are willing to do it.
Got to keep that balance. Got to be grounded in the Word. Got to be focused, and got to have that Holy Spirit and believe it and listen and obey. It's what every lesson ever always is. It's what everything always is. It's understand, listen, and obey. Believe.
Yeah. You know, the other thing God's been dealing with me about, I'll do something off, and you're such an idiot. And then all of a sudden I get this check in my spirit. You're not an idiot. You know, don't speak those words. And God's not saying you're an idiot. And you don't mean it seriously, but we do have to watch the words that come out of our mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tongue is a muscle, and it's a very powerful muscle.
Yeah, it sure is.
All right, let's close. I guess that clock's not quite right, but it's close. Lord, we just thank you so much. Yeah, thank you for revealing your thoughts and your mind. And Lord, we're not ready. Just like Jesus told the disciples, I have so much more for you, but you can't bear it yet. We can't bear it yet. But Lord, prepare us and get us ready and give us everything that we're ready to handle right now. And we thank you so much that you've given us so much. And help us, Lord, to know exactly what you want us to do with it, what season we're in our lives and in our faith, and where we fit into your picture, Lord, the big picture of your church as a whole, and where we fit into this church right here, Lord, that we can encourage one another, that we can love one another, that we can pray for one another, that we can just be there to support and to love each other, Lord. We just thank you so much, and we just offer this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mm-hmm.